that my Faith Walker's experience again this year truly was very inspiring. I would have gone, if I was the only one that went, I would have been happy and I would plan to go again next year. But I wasn't the only one. We had 20 to 25 others with us as well. And I just wanted to take this opportunity to encourage you to think about next year's Faith Walkers, and it probably will require you to set aside a little bit of money starting this month so that when it comes time to pay late next fall, you'll have enough squirreled away that it won't kind of set you back financially. It was truly a great time. Now, if you didn't go this year, you know, if you had gone, I'm putting it this way, if you had gone, then I guess you risked missing the Buckeye game. Oh, well, yeah. So those who stayed back for that reason, I don't know that there was anyone who stayed back for the express purpose of watching the Buckeye game, but if you did, maybe there's a message in there for you for next year. I don't know. But before I hand it off to these folks here, and I will remind us that we have a certain limited amount of time, so we can't just, you know, why am I looking at Sam when I say that? No, I could have looked at any one of these individuals up here. 59 times in the New Testament is used the phrase one another. There are lots of one another's. Can you stay at home and read the Bible? Can you stay at home and pray? Sure. But our faith is to be worked out in community. So the one another's of the New Testament are very, very important. And I'd like to point out one of them this morning is in 1 Peter 5. It says that we are to clothe ourselves with humility toward one another. Because a person might think, well, I can only really learn something if it's one of the pastors who's speaking, who's teaching. And I just want to be the first one to say that's so not true. That God's Holy Spirit dwells in the life of each person from whom you will be hearing this morning. And I hope you will tune your heart and your mind to the Lord, no matter where the different individuals are on the spiritual sort of continuum. We're going to be having younger Christians and older Christians sharing. Doesn't matter. God wants to speak to you and teach you through them. So I encourage you to follow along your sermon notes. I ask each one to email me a statement. And so there are some blanks for you to fill in, and I might just sit off to the side and encourage anyone who happens to forget about what time it is. But we do, I don't want anyone to feel rushed, seriously. We do want to hear what the Lord has to say through you, but we're going to kind of rotate three different groups through. So, Danny, you are first.
Hi, sorry, bear with me, I'm a little sick, so... mine was prayer for others is in three tiers, small group, friends, and family, and the people that you know in those first two groups. So a little story back behind that is my dad's not saved, so I've been praying for him about over a year now, and he's come to me, and he's like, I've met this guy, and he's goes to church, and he's in a band, so he's given him a CD that he's wrote, and he really loves that, and he listens to that in the car. And it's a Christian CD, so it's just really amazing how God can work, and God really put that on my heart at Faith Walkers, is not just praying, like, it's for you, and then, like, praying for them, but then also praying for the people that are around them, because they can really impact others that are around them in their daily life.
She's soft-spoken. I'm not, just to warn you. So I'll preface mine a little bit. I was reminded of my spiritual gift of apologetics by my mother and a lot of other people. So I like to know things about other people to help witness to them and actually have a good conversation. And so I went to the seminar where a neurological scientist was there talking. He was an ex-atheist. And I thought that was pretty cool. I want to see what he has to know, what he wants to tell me, what he wants to tell other people. And He said that Christianity can be summed up into three different points as to why he changed from being an atheist to being a Christian. And he said Christianity is rational, historical, and practical. And the rational is pretty much, you know, it's rational to think that Christianity is... See, what was it? Anyways, Christianity is rational. Historical, there's a lot of historical facts that are... spoken in the Bible that you can find in normal everyday. It's history, so it's because it has this historical insight inside the Bible that it would make sense. And then the practicality of it is that he brought up a point that in prisons, you don't see a lot of people changed by Buddhism, Hinduism, or whatever, the spaghetti monster, what have you. You see most lives changed by Christianity. And that's not a fact that you can ignore. That's not a made-up fact. So a lot of people, Christianity changes lives way beyond morning numbers that any other religion has. And I thought that was neat.
Few words, huh? Okay, I need to remember that. So, how blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, which yield its fruit in his season, and his leaf does not wither. And in whatever he does, he prospers. That is my desire. That was Psalm 1, 1, 2, and 3, by the way. I was encouraged by Jack's talk about memorizing scripture, not only here at Newsome, but also down at Faith Walkers. And also the fact that the common theme for me that I kept noticing in my life was meditate, read, and meditate. I listen to the scripture daily, well, mostly, not every day, but most days on my way to work. And I do study and meditate whenever I have a Bible study coming up. And I knew I needed more than that, so I was encouraged by Faith Walker to spend time with God more often. And my take from it was that the only way that I will grow deeper with God and His Son is for me to read, meditate, and memorize scripture. So I've challenged myself to this year spend my time meditating on the book of Psalms. And my prayer and desire is to memorize. I don't know if I'll be able to memorize the entire book. I was really impressed by the ability that Jack reminded us about, that we have the ability to do these things. So not only am I going to continue to listen to the Bible every day, but also I want to spend time to review it in the evenings and also to meditate once again and memorize through the book of Psalms so I can be adequately equipped to resist my flesh, the world, and the devil.
Thank you all for being so brief. Gives me more time.
Banking on you.
The theme of Faith Walkers was the blueprint. And as a contractor, this is what I do every day. I go to my blueprint, and the blueprint tells me what to do, and it also places it in a sequence. It helps me understand what I need to do first, what goes where, and it gives me the end. And there were so many things that I could talk about, so many fantastic teachings. And in fact, it's almost like a little daylights or a daily devotional. The notes that I took. Each of the men who spoke, both in the larger meetings as well as the individual meetings, were profound. And you could easily spend hours reviewing, in which I did. I took time. The next day I would review in the morning. I would get up early and go to McDonald's and sit down for some time and just review all the things that I had learned. Was it Jack said, it's kind of like trying to take a drink out of a fire hose. Just a lot of really good teaching, a lot of solid men who have lived this out. And so there's a lot I could share on, but I'm going to keep it brief. Be still and know that I am God. This world is so hectic, so busy. We are so available. The ringing phone, the email on your phone, text messaging. There's just so many things that cry out for our attention. and it's hard to get away. And that's where I would encourage you. That's, to me, the main reason to go to something like this, is to get away from the worries of the world and the deceitfulness of riches that come in and choke out the word. We are bombarded with data and email and the busyness of life. And getting away, even if it's, maybe it's not Faith Walkers, but I would encourage you to go to Faith Walkers. I have a whole year's worth of personal time alone with God that I'm so excited to get up and get away and review the notes of all the amazing teachings that God showed me this, 4 or 5 days? Stop and listen. Yeah, be still and know that I am God. Thanks.
All righty, I'm going to focus on just one of the sessions that I went to. I went to a session by Tom Short called The Victorious Christian Life. And what it really focused on was just walking in the Spirit, walking, being filled with the Spirit. And one of the, I'm just going to hit some of the highlights here. And first of all, it went to John 7, I think it was 37 through 39, about where Jesus is speaking about the Spirit, that the Spirit is streams of living water. And one of the points he was saying is, for the Spirit to be living in you, he needs to be flowing through you. You don't want to have him pin up. So one of the ways to live in the Spirit is to be giving money, giving time, giving resources, sharing what you've learned from the Bible, just all these things of giving. Because if you have the Spirit pouring into you and you don't let that flow out, it's not going to be a stream of living water. It's going to be a stagnant pond that stinks, and you're not going to grow. So that is one of the points he makes. Another one I really, really liked was back in Ephesians, I think it's Ephesians 5, where he goes through and there's the verse, don't get drunk with alcohol, but be filled with the Spirit. And then one of the points he made that I really, really took home was to get drunk on alcohol, you gotta drink enough that it takes control of your actions. So contrast that with being filled with the Spirit. You want to be so filled with the Spirit that the Spirit is controlling your actions. So that was very poignant for me. And then I hit one more. I just drew a blank what it was, but let's see if I can find it here. Oh, yes. Okay. To walk in the Spirit, you have to turn your back on sin. You're going to be going in a completely opposite directions. You cannot be going two directions at the same time. So if you're going to walk in the Spirit, you're going to live a godly life, you cannot be walking in the same way as sin. It doesn't work. It doesn't go that way. So one of the points he made was that when you're thinking, like somebody comes in and they annoy you, you're like, okay, I will not get angry. But when you're doing that, you're focusing on the sin. You're thinking anger. Don't be angry. So you're thinking on the sin. Whereas instead, if you're thinking in the Spirit, you'll think, oh, let me be patient with this person. What if this person comes in and I can learn to be patient in the Spirit? So then you're focusing on the things of the Spirit, just kind of changing the mindset of, instead of focusing on the sin, focusing on the fruit of the Spirit. So that was some really good points that he had made.
Yeah. So I think one of the biggest things I got was also from Tom Short, just one of his main session talks. I think it was just like really hitting me. So he was talking about how the talk was called Don't Waste Your Life. So he was giving some points of like, okay, so like lusts of the flesh versus living a life of love. And so the way he was defining lust was not just like as we typically think of it when that word comes to mind, but really a life that's lived for selfishness, a life that's lived for self, ultimately. And he said that, you know, like if you're living your life for the world, if you're living your life enslaved to sin, enslaved to the devil, enslaved to any of these other things, that's a wasted life. The only way that you're going to live a life that's fulfilled and satisfying and good is living a life of love. Specifically a life of love, loving God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and loving others as yourself. And so I think, like, as I was thinking about that, he also said something that just really impacted me, was that He kind of told a story about how, I think it was like he was in another country overseas and was just thinking about how, man, like it would be so cool to plant a church here. But then he was realizing, like, you know, I've got a whole ministry back in the States, because he travels around to college campuses and has a really big ministry to college students specifically. And he just kind of realized, like, you know, I do not have time to do everything that I want to do. And so likewise, I think I wrote in my notes, I don't know whether he said this or not, but just like, even in the coming months, even in the coming days, I will not have time to do everything that I want to do. There's a lot of things I want to do. Like, I enjoy watching movies. Like, that's something I've realized. Like, I love movies. Just, like, getting into the story and the storyline, it's just, like, so fun to me. Like, I love it because you see something from start to end. But there's also other things I want to do. Like, I want to grow in memorizing the word. I want to grow in meditation and grow in learning how to disciple women and lead Bible studies and pursue evangelism. And so with that, I realized, and this is my point, my time is limited. Therefore, I need to spend it wisely. I'm not going to have time to watch all those movies that I like to watch while also getting my time in the word, getting time with quality relationships. And so I think, like, as I've been thinking over that, it's just like, okay, everything in my life, the way that I'm spending my time, is it helping me to love God more in some way? Is it helping me to love other people more? Or is it something that God has given me as a refreshment to myself? And I think that's been something I'm just sort of using as just kind of a parameter of, is this something that is worthy of my time? Or do I need to be spending it differently? So that was my takeaway.
I enjoyed a lot of the sessions. They were all really good. One of them that spoke to me was Frank Liu about the New Testament team. And my point is, God has a specific place for me in his body and team that is revealed through my frustrations, burdens, and passions. And I knew that we each had spiritual gifts, but one of the verses that he quoted was out of the Message in Galatians 6, 4, and 5. It says, make careful exploration of who you are and the work you have been given, and then sink yourself into that. Don't be impressed with yourself. Don't compare yourself with others. Each of you must take responsibility for doing the creative best you can with your own life. So then he gave some specifics of how you might be able to know how you're gifted, and he talked about, you know, if you're in a situation at church and there's a ministry and something happens and it frustrates the life out of you, that might be part of your spiritual gift. So he gave some different analogies and about certain things, and Ron goes, that's you. It's like, oh, okay, that's not just me being annoying, that's me. That might be a hint. Some other things were, what are some things that burden you? What's on your heart? You just can't get it out of your head. It's there all the time. That might be part of an indicator of how you're wired. Or your passions. What are your passions? What are the things that you think, gosh, if I could do this, this would be great. You know, those are some things to think about. And the, you know, God's put us together in a body to be effective, and it's our job to find out what our gifts are and then use it for his glory. So,
we have the next seven that are on the list quickly come up. And I also, while they're coming, I want to encourage you to have a goal to come away from the time this morning having circled at least one of the 20 or so points that are in your sermon notes. Hopefully there can be at least one thing that you go, okay, God, this is what I think you're saying to me this morning. Okay? So we're missing someone.
Josh and Destiny.
Oh, they're not here. Okay. All right.
That means I have more time.
No, I have more time. No, me.
We'll share. Okay. Got some lifetime verses that I want to share with you. My topic was, we only have one life to live, and I have determined to do the things that God has shown me to do in 2017. We only have one life to live. I thought that really hit me. You think, you know, you just go along life and, you know, and just kind of haphazardly sometimes I've done that. And it seemed like I did that last in 2016. And so I determined this year to change that. And some of the verses that I've come up with is John 6, 66 through 69. It says, as a result of many of his disciples As a result of this, many of his disciples would withdraw. Many of his disciples, withdrew and were not walking with him anymore. So Jesus said to the 12, "You do not want to go away also, do you?" Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have believed and have come to know that you are the Holy One of God." So just the idea of who, where, what, where am I going to go? You know, I'm with Christ. I'm all in with Christ. And, in Hebrews 11, 12, it says, "Therefore, since we have great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us." So that's the verse that really tells me that I need to run the race this year, 2017, and to be determined to do that. Then finally, in John 9, it says, "We must work the works of him who sent me as long as it is day. Night is coming when no man can work." And that tells me that we only live one life, and that life is to live it now, not wait until it's too late. Also, I have a present for everybody. If you haven't gotten around to it yet in 2017, I have one for you in the back. Be sure to pick it up so that you can't have any excuses of getting around to it anymore, because you'll have one.
At least you didn't explode with smoke.
Yes.
Poof. Poof. So, like Marlene, I really enjoyed the teaching by Frank Liu. And my statement is, sometimes God uses our major frustrations to reveal our greatest spiritual gifts. Excuse me, I am sick as well. I think my family shared their crud with me. Yes, I love you. A lot of people ask, and a lot of believers ask, why am I here? What is my place in this world? Am I special or unique? And I'd had those questions growing up, but I know the answers. I know why I'm here. I'm here to glorify God, to love him. But I often wondered, what is my place here in the church body? What am I supposed to be doing in the church body other than attending services and taking notes and participating? What am I supposed to be doing to serve God and to glorify him? And Frank shared that often our spiritual frustrations can be clues or warnings to what our gifts are. And he said that, we know once we come to realize what our gifts are, we've got to be willing to go to the next step. So I kind of know what my spiritual gifts are, but I've not yet really gone to the next step and pursued using them to glorify God here in this body of believers. So I was encouraged. He encouraged us to, let me see, I wrote it down. He said to talk to someone who can help you achieve your next step. Talk to someone who is an exhorter. And I don't know if Jack planned to share, but that's his gifting. His gifting is exhorting, which is encouraging, equipping. So Jack and I haven't spoken yet, but my plan this year is to meet with Jack and Joan and to see exactly what my next step is and how I can use the gifting that God has given me to further his kingdom and to further the body of believers here.
Okay. I'm Olivia, if you don't know. And the number one thing I got out of Faith Walkers was I must follow the Great Commission at home. If you know me, I've gone on quite a few missions trips to Ecuador, and I love it, and I love loving the kids and sharing God's word with them and teaching them about Jesus and just seeing the joy over their faces as it, clicks, and they're like, oh, I don't have to do anything to be saved. I just have to ask Jesus into my heart, and I can go to heaven. But I was convicted at Faith Walkers that I don't do as well a job at home. I believe it was the opening night, Burke Wilson talked about how our blueprint for our life is the way God designed us and what he intended for us to do. And a part of that blueprint is following the Great Commission. Go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. So I got convicted there, and then I went to Barbara Wilson's breakoff session, and it amazed me. She said that out of everyone who claims to be Christians, only 2% share the gospel. That's not a whole lot of people. And I was like, so many times I've said to myself, it's okay, you shared the gospel in other countries, but there are so many people in this nation around me who have never even heard about God before. So often we feel that because our nation was founded on Christian beliefs, that everyone just knows about the gospel. That somewhere down the road, someone's heard of it and they've just rejected it. But as time has gone on, there are people in our nation who have never heard of God. And so this year I'm planning on learning new skills to be able to reach out to friends of mine who aren't Christians and even people I don't know to be able to share the gospel with them. So.
Good morning, everybody. I had a great time at the conference. I'm old, so I've been following the Lord for a pretty long time. So there wasn't lots and lots of new things, but I think the thing that I came away with is not that I just need to be more purposeful and look for opportunities throughout my day. I don't have to do all this new stuff, but I just need to be like spending time in the Word or making the most of my time in the car while I'm driving. Everybody's got the same amount of time, but I think sometimes I just am not purposeful enough with my time in looking for opportunities to share my faith or to be in the Word or praying. And I think sometimes I just let hours go by and I'm not very purposeful. So my thought was I need to look for opportunities to share my faith or build others up every day. Just be more purposeful in looking for opportunities and not being lazy, you know, because I can just let hours go by. And my verse that is one of my lifetime verses that was shared again at the conference was, God blesses us that all the ends of the earth may fear him. You know, he doesn't bless us just so we get lots of cool stuff or we have a great life. He blesses us for other people's purposes. So one of the things I was thinking about, I don't know, is Kenny Young, I don't even know if it's Kenny, some of the guys, maybe Robbie McAllister, they were talking about how many international people are here in our country. And I'm not in another country, but we have all kinds of people here. And so I don't have to think like I've got to go, oh, I've got to go out door to door or something that I don't want to do, but use the gifts that I have. So I've been thinking about, you know, here, Licking Heights has a lot of kids that are from other countries, and I'm a good teacher. Why don't I use the skills that I have and maybe try to reach out to some kids there and help them learn their English or help them with their science or something? So I've kind of been throwing around things. So if any of you guys are interested in helping at the school, I haven't moved forward with that yet, but I've been really thinking about what is something I could do. It wouldn't take hours and hours of my time, but, you know, maybe an afternoon every week or a couple of afternoons a week. Why don't I go over to the school and help some little kids, you know, learn their English and just have opportunities there by using the gifts and the things that I already like to do just to reach out. So.
I like what she said. The conference is called Faith Walkers because the idea is that those who've been walking in faith for many years would pass that on to the following generations. So a lot of the teachings are kind of targeted toward young people, and they gave Tom Short two main sessions because Tom always has a lot to say. And the first night, his first message was targeted primarily to young people, but his points really burned on my heart. Again, things I'd heard many years ago. He said, you only have one life. Life is short, eternity is long, youth is the golden time. I decided not to pay too much attention to that. there is a constraining purpose in life, and it's Matthew, it's summed up in Matthew 22:34-37. And I'll jump in the middle. Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? And he said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and foremost commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On the blueprint that we used all week long, they had a cross, a picture of a cross, Jesus at the top, self at the bottom, and on the right were, or left, I don't remember which, the right maybe were saved people that you are praying for and building into and interacting with, and on the other side was the lost. And, you know, there are neighbors on either side that we're to be reaching out to. And then related to that, Jack's message was, he exhorted us, his main point was, you must take responsibility for your own spiritual growth. And I know that's true, and Pam has just shared, you know, I've practiced many of these things for many years, but it's easy to get lazy or to think, I kind of know that, I've heard that, yep, know that verse, know this. But I just was very challenged. Jack shared a couple points, declaring that I am not my own. I've been bought with a price, therefore glorify God with my body. Presenting my life to God as a living and holy sacrifice. Realizing that I have an enemy, which is the world, the flesh, and the devil. And therefore, I must prepare myself to stand firm against my enemy by prayer and fasting and memorizing. Being married to a man who memorizes as well as my husband, it doesn't just kind of by osmosis work. I do benefit very much. And many of you probably heard me share from Job because Jack has been sharing it so much. But I'm just committed, and the Lord is putting on my heart the passage that he would have me memorize this year. So I'm excited about that. So in the end, what the Lord said to me was be intentional about my own spiritual growth. And specifically, I'm going to be memorizing scripture and purposely sharing the gospel with friends and also with strangers. I had an opportunity yesterday to meet with one of the women that I know from the Y. And we've been friends for a couple of years, and I contacted her several months ago and asked her about getting coffee, and didn't work out. And she contacted me and said I'd still like to do that. And yesterday morning, we sat together at the new coffee shop in Pataskala, which I recommend that you patronize because it's a great place to meet in those kinds of situations. And I got to share the gospel with her, and she was really open. And just what Olivia was saying, at one point, she said, I grew up, my mom was Methodist, and we went to church sometimes, but we were never there long enough for me to understand the connection of the story. I'd get a little bit here and a little bit there. So there are, and she's often telling me, like when my dad was going through all of his situation in the fall, she would write to me and say, I'm praying for you. And she understands that, but she doesn't understand the gospel, and there are so many people around us like that. So I'm planning to be very intentional with making sure that my friends know the gospel.
Let's have the next group, last group, come forward, please. All right. Okay. Alex, take it away.
I might have a little bit of trouble speaking because I have a little bit of a cold right now. But Faith Walkers is always a refreshing time and always learn a lot. But this year, I had a time where it was almost an audible voice. I felt God was speaking something to me. During one of the last sermons, it just came to mind that the living my life lukewarm for Christ is too high of a risk to take, because I speak for myself at least saying this. I have a tendency to fall away from things if I'm not fully devoted. If I'm just half-hearted to something, I might as well not even be involved with it. And that is a scary thought when I'm thinking about my life with Christ. If I'm not fully devoted to him, I might as well not even be living it. This last year was a little bit of a dry spell in my spirit, and just thinking about how little I walked with God was not something I wanted to do again. And so I have this desire to continue my walk with God and continue growing. And above and beyond the point of just not living my life lukewarm for Christ, I'd say the sermon that spoke to me the most was Jack's sermon and taking responsibility for your spiritual growth. A lot of times I sit around saying, God, why don't you just do something in my life? It's like, well, I should take a step of faith and just do something about it as well. And so things I would like to grow in is making community a priority again. Have a goal to read the Bible every day this year and start memorizing some scripture. And then in addition, also Tom's message about not wasting your life spoke to me a lot. And just having our greatest purpose in life of loving God, glorifying God, and loving others. So those were the main things I took away.
My main point, or one of my takeaways, was to not waste those golden years of youth. They're not in our retirement, but they're now, at least for some of us. And that we, that I'm to pursue the Lord and pursue righteousness with all that I have. Just through a lot of the talks, and specifically through Tom's, or several of his talks, I realize I've been equipped with a lot. I've really been blessed with examples of people in my life who've been following the Lord for a long time. I've learned a lot. I have all these resources, and now I need to just like run with it. I need to pursue the Lord. No one can devote me to prayer. No one can make me pursue righteousness. I have to choose that, and I have to really prioritize that. So righteousness was really like a theme in my mind, and like it just kept coming up in my quiet times, and different speakers were talking about it. So one thing you can keep me accountable to is to ask me, am I pursuing righteousness, or am I just kind of, being content with where I'm at? So yeah, that was one of the main things. And then along that, something that Tom said was about our purpose, and I think some people have mentioned it, is to love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love our neighbor as ourself. And he said, if your purpose in life is not centered in loving God and people, it will be a wasted life. But if you live a life of love, it will be a life worth living. So that's kind of what I'm thinking on.
Well, I know I've been super encouraged this morning just listening to all these stories. I'm really excited for 2017 just to see how this body grows, to see just the deepening of all of our relationships with Christ and with each other. Very often when I go to conferences like Faith Walkers, I see people who have walked with the Lord for a long time, and I see the things that they've done for the Lord, and it's kind of a combination of being overwhelmed and excited. I see people that when they are my age, they were like moving to the Dominican Republic and starting churches, and kind of can't really fathom that. I'm definitely not in that place right now. Like, I take my laundry home to my mom's house on the weekend to get it done. Like, I'm not quite, moving to Dominican material. But a really cool thing that I've learned is the same Holy Spirit that they had 30 years ago when they were my age, we have in our generation today. And there's no barrier that is keeping us from that Holy Spirit. There's no special gift of the Holy Spirit they receive that we don't have access to. So being on this high of knowing that we have access to the Holy Spirit and my generation can do great things as well, I went to a seminar by Burke Wilson about the Holy Spirit, and he kind of reined me in a little bit. I think I realized some of the work that needs to be done in order to see these great things happen through the power of the Holy Spirit. He told a story about him and his son. He said when his son was a boy, he asked for a violin for Christmas. And Burke was like, dude, you play sports, you don't play the violin, that's not happening. But second year, his son came back and asked again, and Burke told him no again. And the third year, his son asked again, and Burke realized, wow, this kid really wants this violin. He's gonna value it, even though it's expensive, even though lessons are expensive. It's gonna be hard for him to get good at the violin. He's gonna put in the work for it. So Burke gave him the violin. He got good at it, and it was worth the investment for Burke. And he likened that to us asking God for His Holy Spirit. God isn't just gonna give all of that power to us if we're not gonna use it for His glory. So, yeah, I want to encourage us that we can do great things through the power of the Holy Spirit, but at the same time, we need to put in the legwork and fervently ask God for his Spirit. He will give it to us.
So I want to start out with saying that Faith Walkers was just, again, really good. I've been there, I think, 4 times now, and I've always gone there, you know, expecting God to do something. And for those of you who didn't get the chance to go this time, I would really encourage you to listen to the sermons that are online. They're all online, and they're all super good, and you can get something from them, I'm sure. My takeaway is that I need to be memorizing scripture. I went to Dad's breakout session, and he did the Job dramatization, and I just realized the importance of memorizing scripture, how I can apply it to daily life, and just how, you know, I mean, he's memorized it, I don't know, 20 years ago or something, and when they asked him to do it again for this Faith Walkers, he kind of had to, like, brush up on it, but he still remembered it from, you know, so long ago. And one of the kind of sub things I got from that seminar was that our brain capacity is bigger than we think, you know. Especially for me, it's super hard to memorize stuff because of just how I'm wired. I'm not like a whole lot of normal people, whatever that looks like, I don't know. But just realizing that I am able to memorize stuff, that just hit me a whole other way than it had before, you know. So my New Year's resolution, and hopefully I'll stick to it, you know, better than I have in the past, is to memorize Romans, or at least parts of Romans. And not only like, oh yeah, I think, you know, this certain verse is in Romans, but be confident, and, you know, if I'm sharing with somebody, yeah, this is in Romans 2, you know, whatever, and it's not, you know, oh, I think it's here, but be very confident in where it is. So, yeah.
I also had written down to encourage you guys to get online and listen to the messages. They were all fantastic. You can learn a ton. You don't have to go to be encouraged. You can just get online and listen, although it's nice to go. Takeaway was very similar to Isaac's. I was a missionary kid. And so in my mind, I'm always thinking you have to, like, go somewhere to do something big or something. And like so many people shared, one of the persons in their talk said, you love God and you love people. And if you're not doing that, it's a wasted life. And that is, just hit me. I don't want to have a wasted life. And so I have to be very purposeful and intentional. And when you're a stay-at-home mom and you don't go anywhere, it's, you know. So anyways, Tuesday, the girls went to school, and I got in the car to go to the grocery and a couple other places. And the great thing about God is if we really cry out to him, I mean, really want it in our heart and cry out to him, he'll respond to us. And so I got in the car. Okay, I forgot to read my Bible this morning, but I'm already in the car. I got to go to the grocery. So please, baby steps. I want to listen to the Holy Spirit and then respond, because sometimes when you kind of hear him, you kind of, ooh, shy away and you don't do it. And so I just said, can you give me one way to do that today? And can you please make it easy on me, because this is day one, God. So, like, don't make it something really hard. And so I kind of went through the day, and I was, you know, looking for things, and nothing popped out. And then I went to the grocery, and someone said, oh, my God. And anytime anyone uses his name in vain, it kind of, Okay, so I walked in the car, and it didn't hit me right away, but I got in the car, and I thought, oh, I don't like when people say that. And I've always thought before, what can I say? I don't want to come across holier than thou. Oh, you're offending me, but I want to do something. So I thought, okay, the next time someone says something, I will respond. So, of course, I go to the post office, and I walk in, and the lady says, Jesus Christ. And right away, I just said, he's holy. And I wasn't coming across nasty. You know, just, he's holy. And she said, oh, I'm so sorry. And then she told me all about her day, and we had a huge conversation. And so I thought, that was a practical way for me now. You know, it might, not for everybody, but for me, when someone, you know, uses God's name in vain,
it bothers me, and now I know I can say he's holy, and maybe it'll open up a way. And then later in the day, I was at Kroger, and, you know, the girl, I asked her how her day was, and she said it was bad, and I walked out of Kroger, and I thought, I should have told her God loves her, and next time I'll do that. And then I thought, no, we have to be not just hearers but doers now. So I went back into Kroger, and I gave her a bag of chocolates and said, chocolates always make you feel better, and God really loves you. And so that felt really good. And then it was Wednesday, I guess, not Tuesday. And most Wednesdays, my girls have softball, or not softball, they're doing basketball now. But they've always, they're sports, there's stuff going on Wednesdays. But probably 30% of the time, I can come to the prayer group. But it's dark, and I'm always exhausted by 7 o'clock. And so I thought, okay, I'm tired. I want to go, but I really don't want to go because I'm just tired and it's dark. But I went anyways because I don't want to be just here. I want to be a doer also. So it's baby steps, but if we cry out, and we want to engage, God will follow through, and he'll give us opportunities, and not just little ones with random people we don't know. Also, how Joan, like, met with someone who she does know. But my fill-in-the-blank was joyful.
Okay, we got, like, 10 minutes left. I guess you guys are stuck with me. My big thing was my takeaway. No matter why you're there, God has a plan for you to work on others' hearts, help them, and be God's mouth and feet. this last Faith Walkers was my 10th Faith Walkers, and I'm going there. I'm running with my dad, and we're driving down, and I have all these high expectations. And the main sessions didn't seem to get anything out of it. The sermons didn't seem to get anything out of it. The second day, we take communion, and I believe it was Tom who was speaking, said get with somebody and pray with them. And I prayed with, like, you know, normally one person, maybe two. I prayed with four different guys during communion. And then the second day, or the third day, go to the sermons, and the main sessions doesn't seem to, like, I'm, like, nothing's really popping out to me. And it's like, man, I should have just stayed home. I didn't get anything out of Faith Walkers. And, like, God taking a sledgehammer to the back of my head, whacked me over the side of the head, and he's like, you are here, and you prayed with four different guys. You are my mouth and my hands and feet. I was able to use you in these guys' lives where they were struggling and they needed prayer. And I was able to help them through that. So no matter what you're doing, where you are, God has you there for a reason. So don't just, like, I didn't get anything out of it, I'm not going to go to Faith Walkers next year. No, you're there and affecting people who you don't really know that well, but who are also in the body. And it's like, another thing that I got out was, I'm not going to be a missionary like Tom Short or Mike Cater, but I'm going to be able to support them. I may not be the hands of God, but your hands or your kidneys are just as important as your hands. You know, you don't see your kidneys. Your kidneys don't see you moving and helping God in the way, in the body, the way, you know, the eyes do. But you're still, it's one body. You're all just there together and here to support each other, you know. So that was my takeaway from Faith Walkers.
Okay, at this time we're going to ask the ushers to come on forward and